is, visit worksmans.com. Anne Bernstein joins us now, the head at the Center for Development and Enterprise. And Anne, you've been doing some frightening research into the real scale of the problem when it comes to youth unemployment. Just give me the headline numbers, please, as to what you've managed to ascertain.
Look, the most important number is that South Africa has 7.5 million young people aged 15 to 34 who are not employed, not in training, and not in education. That is a devastating reality and a real indictment of our society and the strategy that we have followed, which has left behind millions and millions of people.
I mean, and all of the studies will tell you that if you don't have get a job between the ages of 17 and 34, you are less and less likely ever to get a first job. You may spend your entire lifetime unemployed as a consequence of not getting that job early on.
Absolutely, Bruce. So what we're doing tonight is really talking about, and we're releasing documents on what South Africa should do to change from being no country for young people to let's make South Africa a country for young people and stop looking at small projects and small initiatives when the scale of the challenge requires a very different approach.
We need a mass employment revolution, if you like, not the Department of Trade and Industry taking 100 million rand and lining the pockets of the Black Industrialist Program. All of those things are noble and nice, but it doesn't solve the problem of mass unemployment.
Absolutely. We need many more labor-intensive industries. We need to get some of the jobs that are leaving China. We need to look at how we change the labor laws so that employers actually want to employ young people. They have to look at the price of labor. We've got to change this. Otherwise, we're locking young people out of employment. And the national minimum wage is going to make the situation worse.
I mean, a national minimum wage is a pittance. It's not a lot of money at all, but it is a barrier to entry for somebody, one of the 7.5 million people who doesn't have any option of getting a job at this stage, is thereby excluded as a low-skilled individual. We've got a high-wage, high-skill growth strategy that just isn't working because we don't have the skills to match the wages that are being demanded by people.
Absolutely. We need to look at a whole different economy. It must be much faster, much bigger, and much more labor intensive. And essentially, we need to create jobs for the workforce we have, not the highly skilled one we wish we had. We've got to couple this with fixing our education and training system so we're getting more and more skilled people. But at the moment, you've got to say, what do we do with all these people? And it's growing. Young unemployed people are growing at 140,000 per year. And as the chairman of CDE, who's also in his spare time chairman of First Rand, he said, you know, 140,000 per year, that's like creating three First Rand companies every single year.
I mean, okay, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. Is there the first single step that needs to be taken to get us on some kind of course that gives us a chance to break the back of the crisis? We're not going to halve unemployment in the next 5 to 10 years, but what steps can we take to at least make a beginning towards that?
There are two steps. The one is South Africa needs a strategy for rapid growth. At the moment, we have a growth destruction strategy by our leaders. So that has to change, and we have to really prioritize growth. And anything that's going to undermine growth and jobs has to be removed from the statute books or not implemented. The second is both business leaders and political and civic leaders should stop thinking about how you tackle youth unemployment with projects and initiatives. Many of these have merit, but the numbers are really marginal to the scale of what we're dealing with. The truth is, the best, most sustainable, expandable project we can think of to deal with the scale of youth unemployment are called firms. We need more of them.
I mean, we most certainly do. And we also need to encourage companies to hire young people, unskilled people. The notion of getting people in on internships, a number of people are trying it. We've had many thousands of applications with the EOH strategy, and there are many others who are trying it. But the corporate sector is only so absorbent. A lot of pressures on the corporate sector to carry this thing. And it's not necessarily the right strategy. It's also about creating the businesses that will create the jobs into the future as well at some point, Anne. And that's a lot easier said than done.
Well, we agree. But, you know, first we talked to a lot of people around the country. We went to 20 cities and towns and talked to young people, the municipalities, business. And a lot of people talk about, gee, we must promote youth entrepreneurship. Now, we certainly need a more entrepreneurial economy, but if you look at a group of young people who, through no fault of their own, have got very bad education, probably come from homes where nobody works, the notion that they can become entrepreneurs is really going to fail. This is not going to happen.
People are being set up to fail, yes.
They're being set up to fail. In many ways, the best way to become an entrepreneur is to get as good an education as you can and to work for an entrepreneur. Then you're going to learn, and in time you'll find a niche in that industry or sector where maybe you can get a successful business going.
And Bensie, where do we get the documents? Where do we get the latest research, which you, I think you've been unveiling it this evening?
We are. We've just had a very successful event with a range of speakers, including the President of the South African Council of Churches and former Deputy Minister of Finance, Umsebisi Jonas. All the documents are available. We've released three. They're all available on our website, www.cde.org.za, and they'll be up from tonight.
cde.org.za, Charlie Delta Echo. org.za. Yeah. Anne Bernstein, sorry. Ooh, I cut Anne Bernstein off. You don't cut Anne Bernstein off if you want to keep your fingers. I'm head of the Center for Development and Enterprise. Anne Bernstein, very crucial research. And you just hope that it finds traction in the right places. And those right places are in big business. And we'll talk to our shapeshifter this evening as to whether or not she's going to be helping Anne Bernstein drive this particular message. Because Tanya Cohen, Chief Executive of Business Unity South Africa, is our shapeshifter. What do you know about Tanya Cohen? Well, not very much if you're dependent on the internet, because she's got a very low digital footprint as Tanya Cohen. So we're going to be not interrogating, that sounds rude. We're going to be inquiring after her history, her past, what she's been getting up to, what brings her to the point of being Chief Executive of Business Unity South Africa, and what is the purpose of Business Unity South Africa? How is she going to shake up the tree in a way that makes a positive contribution to the future of South Africa? I hope that's what she knows she signed up for. That's all coming up in a couple of minutes. First, Temikile Mkototo with the latest Eyewitness News.
Thanks, Bruce. The police ministry has detailed how arrangements were made and changed several times for Grace Mugabe to hand herself over yesterday, but nevertheless, the First Lady failed to show up. The ministry released a statement this afternoon confirming Mugabe is still in the country and wishes to invoke diplomatic immunity. A case of assault with intent to do grievous bodily harm has been opened against her after she allegedly attacked a woman at a Sandton hotel at the weekend. Clement Bangatela reports.
The police ministry has now confirmed that Grace Mugabe made arrangements to present herself at the Sandton police station yesterday, but the time of the meeting was changed several times. It says by the end of business yesterday, the First Lady had failed to present herself as arranged. Only her attorneys and representatives of the Zimbabwe government showed up. Those representatives indicated to the police that Mugabe's attendance